Welcome to the 15th in the series of Shiurim on the Yud Gimel Ikur of the Rambam, that is the 13 principles of Maimonides, the 13 principles of faith. And we find that we're up to the Yesod HaSiri, the 10th principle. So I'm now going to read, once again, from the Shilat edition, the direct translation from the Arabic, which appears on Daf Kuf Mem Hei, page Kuf Mem Hei. HaYisoid HaSiri, Shehu Yis'ala Yedei HaMaisa B'nei Adam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the acts of man, Ve'eino Maznicham. In other words, he doesn't ignore them. Not only does he know them, he doesn't ignore them. V'loi Kedas Misha Omar, and not like the opinion of he who says, Ozov Hashem Es Ha'oretz, that God has abandoned the world, the terrestrial world. Elakomosha Omar, like it says in the Pasuk Yimayo, Gedola Eitzav Rav Alila, Asher Necha Fakuchos Al Kol Dachei Bnei Adam. There in Yimayo it says explicitly that your eyes are open to see all the ways of men. For Omar, and then the Rambam brings another Pasuk from Bereishis, Vayar Hashem, God saw Ki Rabba Ras HaAdam Ba'oretz. God saw that there was much evil of men on earth. For Omar, and third pasuk that I'm bringing, Zakas Doim Vamoira Kirabo. The cry coming from Stoim Vamoira was very much. These are verses which come to, which give testimony or which express this Yisoid HaSiri. Okay, first of all, what is the background that the Rambam is speaking about? So that the background, which is actually in a certain sense not what we sent out for the Mara Mekoimbes, as usual we got it wrong. But in any case, the Rambam speaks about this in Perek Yud Zayin and Chelek Shlishi. That's chapter 17 of the third volume of the Mara Nevuchim. And the Rambam, actually there is not speaking so much about Yediyah, God's knowledge, but is actually speaking about Hashkacha, which is providence. Interestingly enough is, he really devotes the chapters 20 and 21 to God's knowledge. But in chapter 17 he devotes to providence, but in any case, providence and knowledge are actually somehow connected, as we'll see in a little while. Now, the Rambam begins chapter 17 by saying that he's going to present 5 opinions on providence. The first opinion is that there's no providence whatsoever on anything, and the Rambam understands that to that's apikarsis. I think that's the most prevalent opinion today in the world. Hadeya Shnia, the second opinion, I'm once reading in from the Schwartz edition, on page 474, once again, Perek Yud Zayin Chelek Shlishi of the Meron Nevuchim of the God from Perplexed, chapter 17, section 3, and I'm reading from page 474, the last paragraph. Hadas Hashni, who died till Shemisha Soiva, the opinion of he who is of the opinion. Now, this person is going to be Aristotle, and at the very, very end of presenting this opinion, the Rambam ends with the Pasuk, Azav Hashem Es Ha'oretz. That appears at the very end of page 475, so therefore, this should not surprise anybody. I've got the Maramokar. Right? Aristotle says on certain things there is providence. And these are directed by a person who, right? These are directed by someone who is Masader, who arranges them, who designs them. In other words, this is designed. But part of the world is left to Mikra, to coincidence. This is the opinion of Aristotle. So I'm going to summarize what does Aristotle say about Hashkocha, about providence. Who's Soiver? So Aristotle's the opinion. Looks after is Mashkiach, places providence, ala galgalim, he's on the spheres, Galmasha Besoicham. ולכן הפרוטים שלהם מסבידים כפי שהם. And therefore, all the details of the galgalim, all the details of the spheres, move in accordance as we see they are. And he brings Alexander, who says that the providence of Kodesh Baruch Hu ends by the moon. Right? Now, and that's what he says, right? But then he goes, okay, so he says like this. Now, regarding what about other things that are below the moon?
In other words, that would be the terrestrial world.
In other words, he was speaking about the Yareach, which is the celestial world. Okay? Now, he says, Agam pratikol min enam uznachim kliyah. Now, regarding the species, including terrestrial species, it's not completely ignored. In other words, we can't say there's absolutely no ashkacha, no providence. Ekalazach ba'isichoy ma'akadei shikabu tzuat tzmicha. Usam koichas ha'shoyim alav zman ma'am. Ushchem alav ezkom ma'ashamatim lo v'deichim menu es ma'ashayin to elis lo. Because we see that, for example, species are nurtured. And, you know, we see that there's a design for species that they're able to get, you know, they're able to be nurtured and have the right sustenance, right? And it's given, and they're given the koach, the power to move, the Rambam explains. So in other words, basically, and all of these things are necessary for the preservation of the species. In other words, there's something, what you would call, I think what you would call in the modern Hashkafa language, Hashkafa klolis. There's a general providence on each species to maintain that species, okay? But says the Rambam, Roshara Tnuwa is Achalos B'chol Pirti Amin Achalos B'mikra. But the details, in other words, the individual members of a species, their movement is purely random. In other words, there's no divine design on the specific members of a species. L'mashal, for example, says the Rambam, Kasher Hashem is Ruach So'eres. Right, when there's a stormy wind, Olov Sa'eres, who bleeds Safik Tapil Kama Olam Eitz Echa. In other words, a wind will certainly cause the branches or the leaves of certain trees to fall. Tishpo Olam Shal Eitz Acher will break the branch of another tree. Tapil Evim Me'ezishu Gedel Avonim will, you know, blow off the a stone from a stone wall. Tala Ofal Esav Kolshu or will. We'll kick up some dust. What could possibly be that we'll make a tsunami, right? We'll make a hurricane on the water, and we'll in fact actually sink the boat. And people in the ship will die. According to Aristotle, no distinction between the falling of the leaf, which Kodesh Baruch Hu couldn't care less with, right, where there's no hashkacha, no providence, and between the drowning of people in the ship. Aristotle does not distinguish between an animal whose feces, whose excrement goes on ants, umeso, and they die. For example, a building is filled with people who are praying and the building collapses and kills them. Okay? Besikum. In other words, to summarize the opinion of Aristotle, things that move in a very regular, monotonous, mathematical motion, like the galgalim, like the spheres, right? So therefore we can say there's a hashkacha. Hashkacha lokis mislav elav. So therefore there's divine providence. But for example, things that we see don't have a regular mathematical movement, like all the different types of plants, the individual plants, animals and man, this is purely coincidence, this is purely random, and certainly there's no designer, there's no money, there's no person who's directing their movement. There's no divine providence. Etc. And amanim b'deya zois, those who believe in this opinion, Haim Oimim, they're the ones who say, Ozav Hashem as Ha'ovet. So in other words, the opinion of Aristotle is that divine providence is only on celestial objects which move in a periodic, in a continuous, and a non-ceasing mathematical motion. But for example, cats, people, leaves, which seem to don't have a mathematical motion to them, there's absolutely no providence. That's the opinion of Aristotle. So comes the Rambam and says, God knows the acts of man. I'm going back now to the Iklim, to the Teth Ikka, right? And not like the opinion of his Ashavas Aras, El Kamosha Omar, God Dola Eitzava Valila, Ashaynecha Pukukas Bre Adam, etc. Now, the question is, what is the opinion of the Rambam? The opinion of the Rambam, which he goes on, which is he brings the Dea Chamishis, right, is the opinion that, in fact, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, he speaks first about Hashgacha, and that the Rambam says, wait a second. On page 480, the Rambam actually says like this. This is 480 in the chapter 17 of the third section of the guide, page 480 in the Schwartz edition, the last paragraph, third paragraph. Right? So he says, I'm going to summarize to you what is divine providence. Right. Okay. Right. This is the sheet of the Torah. Sifra Shalakel v'Sifra Nevi'enu. This is the Chumash and the books of the Nevi'im, the prophets. Deazos Hashemim Pachos Begunim Nadeas Hakodmes Ukov Yisrael Ela Hekesh Hasifra. It says around this is the best of all opinions and the closest and the most rational. Ki Ani Ma'amin. Says around them, I believe. That the divine providence in this terrestrial world, underneath the moon, he beprat min ha'adam b'vad. It's only on man. Rak min ze kol matzit prata v'chol ha'teva ha'ra ha'pokta ma'isa matim l'mashem ruyim loy. In other words, it's only man, right, who's commanded in evil, good and evil. So therefore, you could say called the Achav Mishpat. Avo Shava Lechai, animals, Koshkan Atzmochim, was blossom and plants, Daiti Aleim Kedas Aristo. My opinion is an opinion of Aristotle. Ein ani mamin she pshum oifin she ola ze neshe bashkachalov. I don't believe that this leaf fell down because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said fall down. Velo she achbi ze torav zvuv ze b'gzeir asakel. I don't believe that this spider ate this fly by divine will. So in other words, what the Rambam is saying is that his opinion is the same opinion as that of Aristotle, with one exception, man. Now, the fact is that this is clear in the 10th principle, because the Rambam says, he knows the actions of man. Right? And he doesn't abandon them. Aristotle believed that there isn't a divine providence even in the terrestrial world, even on man. Because man, of course, some people do maybe, certainly computers. Those people do computers like people, but I'm saying is most people don't act in a perfect mathematical fashion. Okay? Rather, Rambam brings opinions. But in fact, what it would appear to be is that the opinion of the Rambam here is identical with that of Aristotle, referred to God's knowledge, right? Except that the Rambam understands that God knows the actions of man. Now, we have to make, there's certain things here, that, in other words, this is clearly the Rambam studying Yeshiva. Now, the thing is like this, which is important, is that we have to discuss the relationship between God's knowledge and God's providence. Now, Aristotle, now the Rambam in chapter 17 doesn't really directly right? Right? Speaks so much about God's knowledge. His language here is really on hashkacha or masader. In other words, when he speaks about, right? In other words, when he speaks about the when actually he invokes Aristotle, right? He speaks about God is not mashkiach. You know, words does not have prophet, does a prophet on the terrestrial world, only on celestial objects, which one in a certain sense could claim that. Here, providence and knowledge are one and the same thing. Because if God has knowledge on something, why wouldn't he have hashkacha on it? In other words, it would seem from reading in Perek Yud Zayin that even though the Rambam here speaks about hashkacha, which is providence, right? He's not speaking about yidia, God's knowledge. Nonetheless, I mean, you know, one could say clearly that, you know, one could use providence and knowledge interchangeably. In other words, God, in fact, actually has knowledge up to the moon, and below the moon, the terrestrial world, there's no knowledge of God, except for that of man. One could have said that, and that certainly would fit into the language of the 10th principle. Well, notice in the 10th principle, the Rambam is not speaking about, if Shalat's translation is accurate, which we're relying upon it, he's not translating it as hashkacha, providence. He's translating it as yediyah, knowledge. So it would seem that if we equate knowledge and providence, right, in this way, then in fact God's knowledge is only of objects which are, in chapter 7, which are celestial, and they have knowledge of man. And that's what Shalat is doing. Except the fact is that it's not all clear that this is really true. This is what I want to discuss. It seems to be in the Rambam, and there's certainly just in the Rambam, that in fact, actually, God's knowledge is, in fact, on all objects. The Rambam actually says this in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says in Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, right, and you say the Torah, right? The Rambam says, "Kol nimtzayim chutz min abayre b'tzuri shayne ad yitush katan shu b'tibo oretz." Everything that exists outside of the Creator, from either the tzuri shayne, the highest tzur, which means the highest sphere, the highest idea, ad yitush katan shu b'tibo oretz, until a small fly in the middle of the earth, hakol mikoyach amisay nimtzal, all comes from the truth of. From God's truth, from God's creation. But since God knows and is aware of his greatness and his truth, he knows everything. So it would appear from Halacha Tes that in fact the Rambam seems to be saying that in fact actually God knows everything. Since he created everything, he knows everything. And that would include the Yitush HaKatan, the small fly. Now, in the Megillah Devuchim, in Perek Chaf, the Rambam speaks about God's knowledge. And, right, and he goes in detail, which we'll speak about Mitzvah Hashem a little bit later on, the differences between God's knowledge and man's knowledge. But the Rambam says clearly, right? The Rambam says clearly that this is in Perachov, in Chelek Gimel, chapter 20 of section 3. Okay? The Rambam says, he speaks about God's knowledge. And the Hetem, I'm now page 489 So he says, God, let me begin from the beginning of the paragraph, in the chapter. Dava muskanu shalo yitach yitzchas liyisali yidiyah kol shiyed yachshav mashal yodah. There can't be any new knowledge of in God. In other words, God cannot know at any point something he didn't know before then. Okay? They can know a lot of knowledges, right? Right? And then he says, in other words, maybe that God knows something new about something. Right? Okay? That's what he says. Now, in accordance with this, on page 489, second paragraph, the God's knowledge has to be infinite. God can know everything. His knowledge is totally infinite. Right? Now, he says, some people, some from the Balei Iyun, some thinkers, Doglu Bekviya have asserted the axiom Shayadiyah Mitchacheset Lemin, that knowledge relates to min, which means a species, V'nimsheches al kol pilte hamin b'muvan ma, and extends to all the details, all the individual members of that species. Zois hi daitoi shall kol ben teira. This is the opinion of every ben teira. And this force, this is a necessary consequence of thought. However, he says the philosophers disagree. Right? The philosophers disagree. And that God's knowledge, right, is not infinite, etc., etc. In other words, what the Rambam is saying in chapter 20, that in fact, God's knowledge, and he calls this the, right, the das of every ben Torah, that in fact God's knowledge extends not only to from the general principles of a species, but to every individual man of a part of a species. Whereas the philosophers don't agree. According to the Rambam, God's knowledge is infinite, but philosophers, it's not so much, not so infinite. So, in other words, what we find here is a very interesting thing. In other words, in Aristotle, providence, I mean, as far as philosophy is concerned, providence and knowledge are the same thing. Hainu ha, they're equated. According to Aristotle, God has no knowledge of individual members of a species of the terrestrial world. There's no knowledge whatsoever. They're purely random. And consequently, of course, there can't be any hashgacha. There can't be any providence. God has no basa, and so he's not mashgiach on something. But God, there is a, it's called a hashgacha klolitz, a providence of the species. You know, God knows the rules of nature. He doesn't know individual species. Now, Maimonides, the Rambam, says that his opinion on hashgacha, on providence, was identical with that of Aristotle, except with the exception of man. This man has intellect, whatever. However, it's clear that there's another important distinction between the Rambam and Aristotle regarding knowledge. According to the Rambam, God's knowledge is infinite and extends not only to the general rules of nature of the terrestrial world, but also extends to all piltei hamin, to individual members. So this very, very much is in accordance with what he says in the Mishnah Torah. And I read you in Perek Tes. Kol nimtzoyim chutz ben aboyim mitzuyah rishon ach yitush koton hakol mikoyach amisei nimtzoy. They all come from God's truth, from the power of God's truth. Ulvishu yadeya atzmoy, since God knows himself. Umake godol v'sefartoy, and knows his greatness and his glory, v'amitoy, and his truth. Hu yadeya hakol, he knows everything. Everything meaning, even the yitush koton, the tobo oretz, even the small small ant in the middle of the world. The ain't double labby metal. So we see over here, and this interesting thing is that, and this comes out of the Moreh Nevuchim. Interesting enough is that the Rambam presents Hashkocha providence in chapter 17, and only speaks about Hashkocha. In chapter 20 and 21, he speaks about God's Yediyah, God's knowledge.
What does Hashgacha mean?
Wait. We're going to say that in a little while. Whereas, however, the interesting thing is in Yesod HaSiri, in the 10th, he speaks about God's knowledge, and if you're medayik, you have to read so carefully, not as carefully as we read the Parakhes and Yesod HaTera of the Rambam, but we read it somewhat carefully. The Rambam just says, he is al yadeya maise b'nei adam. He knows the acts of man, meaning that what? The acts of other traditional beings, he doesn't know in accordance with Aristotle, which in fact, actually, he is clearly arguing on that in the God. Now, what does Hashgacha mean? So basically, Hashgacha means that God is... Hashgacha basically means that God, not only does God know your acts, but in accordance with your acts, God will punish or reward you. That's what Hashgacha is. In other words, Hashgacha, providence for the Rambam is God will react to your acts.
In this world.
In this world, right, speaking about this world. That's what's called Hashgacha. God will punish you, reward you. Now, the Rambam lists, of course, 5 opinions of providence. Sometimes, according to some opinions, God will punish you even though you didn't deserve it. The Rambam holds that that's ridiculous, that's absurd. And that's actually what we're going to speak about in Mitzvah Hashem, in Yisod HaChalasar, the 11th principle. But right now, we're speaking about the concept of Yevdiyah. But the question is, that the question I would like to raise is that, in other words, the Rambam limits himself in Yesod HaSiri to God's Yediyah. Now, if Yesod HaSiri, the 10th principle, comes together with Yesod HaChadasah, so really, in fact, you could say that when it says Yediyah, God really means Yediyah with a Hashgacha. And the Hashgacha is in the 11th principle. In other words, you could say that when Rambam says Yediyah is lav dafka, no dafka Yediyah, no, the Iker is Hashgacha. Well, the Rambam, the 10th principle, has come to explain the 11th principle, like we saw in some of the principles too. The earlier principles are just building up to the later principles, the latter principles.
Just in terms of intent, but
right.
Different
to say. Right, yeah, right.
Right. Omniscience is what's different.
Right, right. But the fact is, though, is that clearly, I would say, I mean, it's clearly, this is in the Magen Nevuchim, in the God, and in the Yesod HaTorah, God has knowledge of everything, every detail. Now, I want to go into this a little bit further because I think this is an important thing. The concept of Yediyah is very, very important for the Rambam. God's knowledge too. What do we mean by God's knowledge? Now that we're speaking God's knowledge. Because everybody is all aware of the fact that a famous contradiction which the Rambam speaks about, I don't know where most people encounter it. Most people encounter it in Hilchos Tshuva, in Parakeh. In the Hilchos Tshuva Parakeh in Halacha Hay, the famous conflict or stila contradiction between God's knowledge and man's free will. Okay, and the Rambam speaks about this in several places. He speaks about this in the Mishnah in Shemot HaPorkim. This is all over the Rambam. It's interesting that he speaks about this a little bit in the Marin of Chum too, but not really directly. Not really directly. Okay? But, in any case, let me go through a little bit through in Hilchos Tshuva what the Rambam says, and then I want to compare this to actually to the Marin of Chum, what he says in Yesod HaTorah. Okay? In Hilchos Tshuva, Parakeh, Parakeh, Halacha Hei, Parakeh, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Hei, it's right in the middle. After the Rambam is established in the first 4 halachas that man has absolute free will, which we've spoken about too, we've spoken about that in the earlier, right? That's create b'yish b'ayin, correction next to the Allah. Because Baruch knows everything before it happened. Yadash is a tzaddik or rasha or lo yado. Right? He knows that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows his people be a tzaddik or rasha. Im yadash hu yad tzaddik or rasha. Efshu shu yad tzaddik. Vim tamesh yadash yad tzaddik. Efshu yad rasha. Reza lo yada. Dova do. So you have to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the person to be a tzaddik or rasha. However, if that's true, there can't be free will. Right? Right? Im yadash hu yad tzaddik. The person knows he's going to be a tzaddik. If you're a tzaddik, it can't be that he can't be a tzaddik, because Baruch knows everything. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows it's going to be a tzaddik, and the Kodesh comes out of Russia, then doesn't know. The A, you should know, Shetshuva, She'ela Zu, Aruch Me'eretz, Midu Rechov Bineya. Rav now speaks about this. V'kava ikrim gedoylim, v'arorim, ramim tluyim bother, many ikrim that are tali on this. Interesting, what ikrim are tali on this? I want to say, what's Kama Ikrim? Well, first of all, I want to claim, first of all, you say that Asiri, the 10th principle. You say that Charasan, Schava Oynish, and you say that Vi, Riesh Miayin. Those are at least three Ikrim. In fact, I want to say even more so. I want to say, actually, right? Yehudai, we're going to see. God's knowledge, Yehudai, maybe, Yehudai. We're going to see that Rama's going to identify God's knowledge with God's essence. So we have, in my opinion, at least four ikrim that are contingent upon this. The answer. So he says, Kevah me'anu pershen nechazir yateru. We've already explained in the second chapter of Sidi HaTorah, Shekodesh Baruch Hu in your day b'day shichutz b'menu, kivnei adam b'shem v'datam shnayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not know with a knowledge that is different from him, like a man whose knowledge, the person's knowledge and identity are two separate things. Elohu yisbarach shmoi v'day te'echad. Kodesh Baruch Hu is at one with his knowledge. Ve'ein ta'azhu shal adam b'chun la'asik davas etzal boyim. No one could understand what this knowledge is. In other words, that there's a knowledge that identical with something. Just like one cannot know the truth of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is the Rambam's negative theology. So a person can understand God's knowledge. Okay? The Kaver, says the Rambam, Shekain, who ain't banu koich leda, hechshad the Kodesh Baruch Hu abuyim lemaisa. We can't know how Kodesh Baruch Hu knows something. Aval noydem lo sovish shemaisa bei adam ein Kodesh Baruch Hu boishu lo gozer lav lo sot kaf lo shalas kaf lo mebnei kabos hadas ela barais buis bidava bidivra chacham mizen nema mnevuah shadans adam akim maisa. In other words, basically, says the Rambam, we know, but right, but we know certainly that a person's acts are up to him. Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot decree upon him, right? And says the Rambam, this is not only religious, but also this is rational too. Now, what the Rambam appears to be saying is that there's no question. The question doesn't exist. The contradiction doesn't exist. Why? Because the contradiction only exists assuming that there's something called God's knowledge. But we don't know what God's knowledge is. We can't speak about God's knowledge just like we can't speak about God Himself. So basically, the Rambam says, since we don't have any idea what it means to say God knows, so therefore the question is nonsensical. It's not really a Wittgensteinian answer. That's what the Rambam says. In other words, it's a very difficult answer. The Rambam says we can't ask the question because the terms are not understood. The tons are hidden from us. We can't see what it means God to know. You know, if God knows, then there's a contradiction. Because knowledge means knowing something in the future. And of course, something in the future, man can have free will. But the word God knows has as much meaning as knowing God Himself. And therefore, no contradiction. Yet, what do you want to say?
Didn't we say that the difference between man knowing something and God knowing?
We'll speak about that in a little while. That's chapter 68, section 1, I know your contradiction. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. I mean, it's a shame. Okay, now. But it's the biggest deal of the matter, okay, John? Okay, now. By the way, it's a difficult answer. It's such a difficult answer that the Rebbe says.
Yeah, why ask questions?
No, the Rebbe's a question. He says, the Rebbe says, You're not being clever, you're not being smart. He says, why? He asked a question, you give an answer, and everyone can understand.
I never understood the
Rebbe.
Why can't he understand the answer? What's so hard about the answer?
He answered a question. It was better, right?
No, but it's not true. He gave an answer, which is the question is not a question. That's a good answer.
B'tmimus ha'tmimim, v'lo yalehem yaneich daitem b'safek, v'olai sha'achas yavo hiyo b'livim al zeh. In other words, you raise a question, before you say you understand the question, the answer, you raise a question, you don't give an answer, and then you can't raise a question without giving an answer, and people are gonna go off the derech. So the Rebbe gives an answer. What's the Rebbe's answer? That a certain thing God knows, and he doesn't know. Anyway. Yeah, what do you think his answer is? It's a very difficult answer. He didn't answer the question. What he did was, he says you can't ask the question.
Why is that not an answer?
I don't know. If I raise a question, and you say that you can't ask the question, does that mean that you answered the question? You didn't answer the question.
No, you demonstrate why the question is nonsensical, given the paradigm in which we think.
But that doesn't appear to be an answer to a question.
Okay.
It's like the Derech HaChinuch in many institutions today, right? That's not a question. You can't ask a question like that.
No, but it logically undermines the question.
But that's a very sophisticated. Most people understand that when you ask a question, and you say, well, you really can't ask this question, then you're not really answering the question.
Now, if someone asks, what's it written in the sixth book of the Chumash? And you answer them, that's not a question, because there is no sixth book.
No, because you made a mistake. You made a mistake. You thought there were five.
I'm saying the question's a mistake.
No. The question's a question. The Rambam himself asked the question.
But the question is based on an error.
No. You see, it's not like this. No, the question's not based on an error. The question is a question, except that what? We're using God's knowledge in a way, we're using God's knowledge in a way which we understand, let's say, man knows something. But in fact, actually, God's knowledge is opaque and cannot be used in this way. However, I mean, not to go into detail really on the merits of the Rambam statement, but the fact is that what you've done is that we don't understand what God's knowledge is. You haven't said to me, well, that's not true. God doesn't know anything. You said, we can't really speak about God's knowledge. We can't ask the question because God's knowledge is very difficult to understand. So, in a certain sense, I haven't answered the question. In fact, what my answer has been? This question is too hard for me to understand. That's what I've said.
No, really, you're saying that by definition, our minds
are too small. But what does that imply? I've raised a question that really I can't answer. See, I haven't said what's in the sixth Chumash. By the way, there's Shittas and Shabbos, so there is a sixth there. So don't Kuf Yud Zayin and Shabbos. But anyway, but I'm saying is, in other words, if he would have said your question is based on my mistake, he didn't say that. He said the question uses a term which we cannot fully understand. And therefore, you can't answer the question. But the fact is that why can't I answer the question? Not because it's based upon a mistake, but because we can't understand it. So therefore, netto, right? I've raised the question. You can't really understand the answer to this question. So I haven't answered your question. Says the Leibniz, you can say people to that, they'll fry out. Now, the Leibniz is not saying the Rambam is wrong. But the Leibniz is saying is, lo nog zeh machaba minech hachachamim. You weren't smart. You don't raise a question, you can't answer. So therefore,
except the
Raivet. So the Raivet gives. Yeah, the Rabbi Break is a good cure of question, good cure of answer. In other words, that God knows things which operate naturally. That something, you know, will deviate from natural order, whatever it is, or something's exceptional. God doesn't know that, which means basically the Raivet is basically completely contracted God's knowledge.
And he's now arguing on Rambam.
No.
He's saying, well, like
Aristotle. Is he arguing on the Rambam? He's saying there's enough type of answer you have to present to people.
It seems like the Rambam's providence, like his Ashkafet, that the things that God has providence on and not.
No. Yeah, that's true, but that could be, but that's, here he's speaking about even, that's true too, but The fact is, though, is that even with people too, he doesn't have total providence.
And he's not limited to man either.
He's limited to man too, so it's not sure. But anyway, like this. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, the question uses terms that we really fully do not comprehend by hand. Therefore what? I can't answer you the question because you want to, we can't understand it. Therefore what? I've raised a question and I haven't given you an answer. On the contrary, we don't understand it.
There's a retort suggesting the Raivit doesn't really believe the answer he gives.
My opinion of the Raivit is that he agrees that this is probably the right answer, but he feels that this is not the answer you can give people because you're going to cause people to lose their emunah. And therefore he says there's a more practical answer to give to people. That's why I understand
there's
that.
There's a pure answer to give the wrong answer.
Yes, yes. Now I do believe, I'm sure some will, I do believe in Tom Day gives a different answer or says something different, which means this is the way I understand the Raivit. His attack on the Rambam is not that the Rambam's answer is wrong. The attack of the Raivit on the Rambam is very, very simple. You know, you can't, this is not the type of answer you can give to people. Now, the fact is, though, I said, what does the Rambam say in Perek Beis in Yesod HaTorah about God's knowledge? And that's what I want to turn to. Okay? In Perek Beis, Halacha Yod, in Yesod HaTorah, the Rambam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makir Amisa Yodea Oisa Kamo Sheid. God knows His truth and knows it the way it is. The Rambam's now is not separate from God. We and our knowledge are two separate things. God's knowledge is at one with Him, the capital H. In other words, God, the Creator, and His knowledge and His life are one from every aspect. Because what? Okay, so in other words, God's knowledge and He are one. God's knowledge is separate. Okay? But then goes on the Rambam and says, and that's what the Rambam said in Perakeh, in the Chaschuva. But then the Rambam says, Nibs is Oyev. As a consequence of this, we say, Hu Hayadeya, He's the knower. Hu Hayadua, He's the object of knowledge. For Adeya Atzman, He's the knowledge itself, all is one. The Dovazah in Kork Befela Amloy. No one can even possibly say this. Vlabaisel Shomu can hear this. Vlablaiva Adabla Kira Billion. No one can understand this. Lufichach, if we say, right, etc., etc. Lufichach, Enu Makia, right, right. Okay? He doesn't know like we know. Now, so the Rambam says that God's knowledge are not separate things, and therefore we cannot understand this. But what's interesting, the Rambam does say, right, the Rambam does say, that He is the knower, He's the object of knowledge, and He is knowledge itself, and all is one. In other words, part of this unity that the Rambam is claiming, God and one is knowledge, is the fact that the knower, the known, and the, I guess the act of knowledge are all one and the same. What's interesting, and this is the question that you asked, is the Rambam says the same thing as about man. The Rambam says, in chapter 68 of the Guide, of section 1 of the guide, and he speaks about this, right? I'm reading now from the very end of the chapter, page 176 in the Shilat edition. Bo'a Eifa, it is clear, Sha'yoyis ha-secho ha-maska muskel echad, the mispah, since, in principle, the intellect, the intellectualizer, and the act of intellectualization, echad mispar, a one in number, ainu lagabi aboy levad. There's not respect to God. Lagabi kol seichel, respect to every intellect. Gambanu amaskil asechel muskol heidaver echad. Or also to what? For us, for man too. The hamaskil asechel muskol, they're also one. Kasher yestad asechel b'foya, when we're actively thinking. In other words, Sometimes we're not thinking, sometimes we're sleeping. And then our intellect is only in potential. But the fact is that this description of the unity of the maskil, the muskal, and the seichel is not only a property of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a property of man too. It's a property of man too. And should you say, well, you know, should you say, well, maybe there's a difference between what's called seichel and what's called yediyah. Right? Even though I don't, right? Say on yediyah. Nonetheless, the Rambam, right? The Rambam does say at the end of chapter 69, he lists several things that are one with God. Right? And the Rambam says, right? The Rambam says that, right? Ein ritzon v'cheftzoi v'chachmasa d'vom shem chustar atzmusoi. His chayfis desire, his chachma, are not things that are outside of his essence, right? But rather, right, the things that are one with him. And one of them is, and he speaks here, Ritzoinai and Chachmasar are one with his Atzmus. And I would imagine you did the same thing as Chachma. In other words, it's very hard to meet the... In other words, in any case, the fact is that the Rambam says, to say that God's intellect is the same for him, is something that we can understand. But I mean, he says it's about Seichel. I imagine the answer in Yediyah too. Now, what's interesting is that in Perek Chav, in the third Chag of the Mor Nevuchim, he doesn't say this. God, with respect to, in other words, the Rambam in chapter 20 of section 3 lists the differences between God knowledge and our knowledge, L'das Kol Ben Torah. I'm on the top, bottom of page 490 in the Schwartz edition. Reishis, says the Rambam, right? One knowledge, Yediyah Achaz Vefev is Al Mosa Yediyah Rabbim, Mimin Mishayim. God's knowledge is on many, many things. One knowledge of God is on many things. Second, says the Rambam, right? Right? She'im Yitzchakas L'mashal, Rambam's knowledge even goes on things that will never happen. Shlish is the third. Right? God's knowledge is even on infinite. Revi is the fourth. Right? God's knowledge doesn't change. You can't say you know something now and didn't know before that. Right? Okay? Fifth, says the Rambam. Right? Shebehetim l'dach t'rosena e'yad yisrael yisrael mutzis b'achashter v'shuriyah. In other words, it can't be two possibilities. Now, how come he should have listed the difference that he and his knowledge are one and the same? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. Now, clearly in the Meir Nevuchim, the guy's perplexed. This notion that God's knowledge, the God, the act, the knower, and the act object of knowledge, and the act of knowing are one, is not a dip in the Meir Nevuchim, is not listed in the five things that separates God's knowledge from man's knowledge. Right? Okay? On the contrary, in chapter 68 of the first chalik, the first section, God says that what God and man have in common, at least when man is knowing something actively, is that they're all three are one and the same. Whereas, in the Yesodia Taylor, the reason why they're incapable of understanding God's knowledge, which is at one with them, is because the knower, the act of knowledge, the act of knowing are one and the same. I find this to be an incredible contradiction between the Yesodei HaTorah, actually, and actually Hilchos Tshuva, because Hilchos Tshuva sends you to Yesodei HaTorah, and at the end the Rambam says, Daficha, therefore, the knower, the act of knowledge, the act of knowing one and one, and we can understand this. But in fact, actually, that's what we could understand. In fact, the Rambam proves it in chapter 68. Now, you could say a teirutz, an answer, by saying is that that which the Rambam says that the knower, an act of knowledge, act of knowing, or what I'm to say, in man, that's only when man is actively in the act of knowledge, when he's awake. When he's sleeping, or he's not in the act of knowing, then that's not true. But that's hard to say like that, because at the end, when a person is knowing something, he's actually knowing something, he knows what God knows. So, it would seem to me that the Rambam, and it's interesting, the Rambam doesn't really address the question of the distinction, of the contradiction between free will and knowledge in the Mor Nevuchim. Not really. In which case, what? It would seem to me that the Rambam defined God's knowledge in this way and say that Tag in order to address the question of Hilchos Tshuva, because he's speaking about man's free will. And the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam doesn't really directly speak about man's free will. It doesn't devote any chapter to man's free will. I mean, he speaks about that, right? And therefore, because of that, he was able to speak about this unity of knowledge which is in common both to man and to God. That's what I want to perhaps propose. Actually, the matter is more complicated than this, but we're going to have to leave that for Mr. Sim for next week. In any case, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim, Yerach Kodesh, have a nice week. We'll see you, Mitzvah Shem, in a week. Be well.